Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
To another episode of the Beer Ladies Podcast. I am Lisa and I am your host this week, and I am joined by Katie.
Hi.
And we are audio only this week because we are having a special playaway episode. Ooh. We are at Dead Center for their Oktoberfest. We're going to chat a little bit. We're going to chat a little bit about Oktoberfest in Athlone. What's that about? But we're going to let them first do some quick introductions. So, Dead Center folks, how are you?
Hello, I'm Petra.
Hello, Petra.
And hello, I'm Lim.
Hello, Lim. How are you? It is so glad. We are so glad to be here. I was last here for the Crack Beer Community Meetup event, which was good fun. And Katie, you were here not too long
ago. I was here last summer, I think, or something.
Yeah, last summer. So before we dive into all of those things, and again, we're going to say Oktoberfest. Why Athlone? How does that all come together? But we'll just want to say our usual spiel, so thank you for continuing to like and share and subscribe. We are at Beer Ladies Pod in most places on the socials. We are at Beer Ladies Podcast and a couple of the other ones. We're on the YouTubes. You know where to find us. We have a link tree now, so thank you for your continued support. But with that said, this time everyone's drinking the same thing, so we are really excited about this one.
One of us is drinking it way faster than everybody else. I'm so sorry.
I'm just slowly saving it,
Yeah. I'm not.
Well, I think it's important to say again, we're recording before the Oktoberfest kicks off, so we're not trying to go overboard. So, Liam, do you want to talk us through this gorgeous Radler?
This is our 2.2% lemon Radler. We make it every single year. We make an American wheat ale called Across the Pond. So it's 50% American wheat ale and then 50% a lemonade that we make in-house. So the lemonade is very basic. It's just water, sugar, lemon juice and citric acid. But when you blend them together, it's basically hard lemonade.
It's gorgeous.
It is super easy to drink.
So easy to drink. Yeah. Far too easy, especially on a sunny day. This is.
I need this. It's been a long day on the build up to today, so this is brilliant.
Like this, drinking this on the deck outside in summer, you could have so many of these, you wouldn't even know.
Absolutely, and great, great point. So for those who have not been here, there's this glorious deck. We're here on the river.
It's Shannon.
On the river, Shannon. Yes, and it's just beautiful. And we are really lucky. The sun's out today. It's not. We don't have the autumnal chill yet, although it is October.
Yeah. It's not yesterday. Yesterday was a terrible day.
This morning was. When I came in first, I was like, oh, it's chilly enough. I don't know what way it's going to go. But we're out there now putting up some of the hoarding, and it's great. It's really nice. So hopefully the queue doesn't get rained on, and we'll see how we go.
Oh, as myself and Lisa were walking up, we saw a guy erecting crowd control.
I don't know if you call it crowd control. we've been really good. I have to say, everyone that we're dealing with for beer has been really good with POS this year. I think it's because maybe there was a couple of years where there was no Oktoberfests, and I don't know, maybe they had spare POS. But Hofbräu have been good, and Weinstefaner have been good, so it means that we have lots of things that we can use, lots of free stuff, which being a craft beer bar, you don't get those Guinness and Ireland's Edge and Madry and all that kind of tat thrown at you. So it's nice to get some really good. So the place is fairly well kitted out.
It looks deadly. Like I came in yesterday to work, and I was like, oh my god, it actually made me so excited for today. Even when I'm working and not drinking, but it's still exciting.
Yeah, it looks great. There's lots of blue and white. We'll definitely put some pictures up on our socials. It's gorgeous. But I guess are we basically in Munich on the Shannon here? How has it come to be?
Practically.
Yeah,
as good as you can get anyway, particularly outside of a city.
Yeah.
You know, like, as you said, why Athlone? Well, we're in Athlone, so we wouldn't do it anywhere else. But, we've only managed to pull off one before, which was the 2019, which was our opening year. And it was, that was go crack.
Yeah, it was actually incredible. Like I've never really worked before with, like, such a big crowd. And you could see them queuing outside, all the lederhosen and everything. It was just so great, you know, and I'm just... It's going to be the same this year, so it's good.
And I did. I tried on my Derno, and it still fits amazingly. I don't know how. With those COVID stones, I'm not going to say the pound.
Here's your brother.
So I'll be in my Derno later on.
Yeah, we were hoping that we'd get some good fancy dress. The first year again, we got people that just took it upon themselves, because we should probably do like best dressed prize or something. We just haven't this year. We did the first year, and it was good crack. It was good crack.
Yeah.
So tell us about Dead Centre Brewing, and when was it founded? Well, what made you decide to set up a brewery in the banks of the Shannon?
Oh, this spiel. People are going to sit and hear me tell this.
But in case someone out there hasn't heard it.
Yeah, well, I worked in radio for years, so media and marketing is my background. And I moved from a job in Waterford, where I worked on air, to a job here in Athlone, where I was in management. But I had spent some time travelling in Australia and New Zealand, and found the kind of beers that when you came back, it was the same five taps in every pub. And oddly, I wasn't a beer person before I travelled. But when I found beers that I was like, oh, there's flavour to this. This is... Like, I really don't care who you are. The first time you drink a macro lager, you don't go, this is it, this is my drink.
Right.
It's not pleasing on your first taste.
You do it to kind of fit in with the people around you. And
even people that say, oh, well, you know, you have to build a taste first. Like, why? If you try something you don't like it, don't drink it or don't eat it. Whereas I found beers in Australia, and particularly in New Zealand, that I liked as soon as I tried. So that kind of transformed me a little bit. But then obviously came back. Couldn't get any of those beers, and at this stage I had wound up in Athlone, so I had started home brewing. So Roger, who was our home brewer here, was a member of the Midlands Beer Club. Sean Coulihan, who started Wide Street, was a member of the Midlands Beer Club. It was a fairly good club, you know, particularly for me coming in as a new, because initially I hadn't been brewing. I'd been fermenting, I'd been making cider, but I hadn't been brewing. So I moved quickly from, you know, fermenting apple juice to making kits, and then all grain, and then started to kind of get a little bit better at it, and really wanted to know more about the business. So at that stage I started working for Roy River Brewing Company in Selbridge, and learned an awful lot about the business of beer. But I was still living in Athlone and traveling up and down to Selbridge. So I put together the plan for Dead Centre. We started brewing initially under contract with St. Mel's. We did some cans, put them out. I knew from Roy River, being able to make a beer and being able to make a living making beer are two very different things. So I said, look, let's put some beers out and see how they go. And they were relatively well received. So I said, look, we'll push on and go ahead with this. So planning permission came through here kind of mid-2018. And then we opened the doors February 2019. So it was quick. But that's how we got here. The brewery itself didn't actually operate until at the very end of 2019, because just red tape around revenue and things like that and production. So yeah, we got a couple of months production before COVID came and spoiled our parade. Yeah, and that's us. Petra's been here. Petra met us before the place was open.
Basically,
to interview.
I remember, because I always loved beer. And I always like love craft beer, but I wasn't really like kind of like, oh, like I knew it's there, you know, so if I see it on tap, I will have it. But I was sitting across the river in a pub, and I could see this like Dead Centre Brewing. I was like, oh my god, there is a brewery in Athlone. So straight away, Like I was actually searching, looks like if there's any like a jobs going or anything like that, and then applied, and that's the start of my journey in that sector.
Yeah,
basically,
you're doing many things here, aren't you? You're sort of Jill of all trades. Doing
I started actually in the bar, and then kind of floor, then you know. Bit of everything.
Bit of brewing, Petrobomb.
Oh yeah, I was actually, this is the one thing I was like, I need to mention this. Liam actually hates when I mention Petrobomb.
I don't know, the beer was great. The expense was phenomenal. The amount of hops in that beer.
I know, yeah.
Tell us about it.
Okay, yeah. This is so exciting for me. So this was basically, we always agreed at the start that there is going to be like, the staff is going to have their own beer. And I love my bitter hoppy beers. Mm. So then Rog was like, yeah, let's do it. And I actually didn't come up with the name of Petrobomb. But
I think it was always there. I don't know I don't know where it originated from, but we knew when you made a beer, we were going to call it Petrobomb.
It just happened somehow. And anyway, this day came and me and Rog were here for a couple of hours, whole day kind of doing it was great, and I picked my hops, and you know, we were doing it on the like the pilot kit, and then just kind of born Petrobomb, and it was one of the best beers.
It was really good.
Yeah,
but Roger had a nightmare cleaning out the filter with hops.
I
had a nightmare looking at the bill for the hops,
but the
beer was very good.
It was a bomb.
It was a hot bomb.
Petra is like, you have to pay for quality,
that's it. Like, quality doesn't come cheap, that is a fact, and you get out what you put in. And the beer was very, very good.
Drank lots of it, I think. We actually tapped it up after the first lockdown. And after the first lockdown was tapped up, I remember I was just so proud of it. And I even, because I do a bit of like photography and just try to do a bit of like graphic design, not really the best, but I did like even the logo
the top badge for Petra,
so
designed herself.
That was my little bitter baby, I used to call it, so...
Yeah,
oh, brilliant.
Cool.
Yeah.
I never got a chance to taste it, but
so, yeah,
I would love to if you ever decide
if
to.
There's a V2. We
would thinking, I think me and Roger are kind of looking at each other like, But then there's Liam like, absolutely not.
Look, we'll see.
When Liam goes away on holiday, order a load of hops.
Yeah.
Oh, we've just gotten to the point that I'm frugal. I'm cheap, I think, is the other way to say it.
Like, you know, if there will be, you know, gap for like a beer or something, you know, for summer, like...
Petra's like, hey, I'm willing.
I wouldn't mind, you know.
Yeah.
And Petra, you let us know when it's brewed and we'll come down and we'll try it.
Perfect, 100%. Yeah.
You've got a clientele already built in
Perfect.
Now, we had crew on a couple of weeks ago, and they have, you know, such a tiny kit. You guys, it's not much bigger.
It's we had said, like, up until a crew, we were the smallest operational brewery in the country by square foot. And then Jono and the guys came up here one day. They came in and I was like, look, it's small, but it's perfectly formed. I always say that. This brewery does exactly what we needed to do. Now it is tiny, but it does what we needed to do. And John was like, I wouldn't know what to do with all this space. I'd be lost in it. And I was like, what? And when I went down to crew, I was like, oh my God. It's
tiny.
Fair play to him. He gets so much out of insanely small space. It's very impressive.
Like when we were chatting to that, but then you have to really think about what's going to be in the tanks, how quickly you can, you know, you've got to be making those same considerations.
And we're kind of the same way, we only have four tanks.
Yeah.
So if we get a week where every tank is empty, just take for example, if every tank was empty, we brewed four times that week, then you've got two weeks of twiddling your thumbs and planning the next, you know, but there's no brewing because the tanks are full and you're at capacity, so it's strange. The pilot kit, like what Petra used for Petrobomb, that's brilliant for kind of let's try something, see how it goes. And we haven't had a miss on the pilot kit yet, which is weird because we've done some batshit crazy things.
Yeah, actually,
really good so far. Anyway,
do you remember the pizza beer?
That was a pizza beer called Neapolis. It was a smoked Mexican cerveza with cherries, pink peppercorns, tomatoes in the mash. Not cherries, cherry tomatoes in the mash.
Oh my goodness.
Pink peppercorns and basil.
I would say that Roger did not like cleaning out the filters after that.
It's mad because it was Roger's idea. And I was like, okay, Roger is very good for, I've said this 100 times, I would happily brew IPA after IPA after IPA. And it's terrible, particularly on a day like Oktoberfest when we have an array of cracking lagers and some great hefs. But I'm a hophead and I would happily just brew IPA after IPA. Whereas Roger is really good at, no, let's do different things. So like IPAs, they are still, they're what moves over the bar. They are.
Yeah.
But we've done, like in the pilot kit last was the Radler and the chocolate and cherry stout.
Right.
Eat, drink and be cherry. Before that, I can't remember what the last thing we had in the pot. I know that we did the, we did resist our fundraiser
Ukrainian
for Ukrainian
beer.
On it. Yeah. That was sunflower seed. It was a wheat beer, sunflower seeds.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
We did, sorry, there's the chiller kicking in.
Oh,
we
good.
Did Kechida, which was a tequila and lime goza.
Oh, wow.
We did, we've done, we, you know, that the pilot kit is great for that. And even that the yeast that we used on the goza is Philly sour. So it's actually a yeast that creates lactic acid, creates sourness. So we are doing a commercial batch of a sour for the first time because we're really happy with the way the yeast goes. So one of the next beers to go in is a passion fruit sour.
Oh,
we're doing
that.
So the pilot kit is great for trialing things out, seeing what's good enough to ramp up. And then obviously we have, well, hopefully soon, we'll have the 2,000 litre brewery coming online in Bloiry. And we'll actually start to treat the pub kit like a pilot kit. So we'll try out weird and wonderful things on the pub kit, put them on tap. If they're well received, we can scale them up in Bloiry and then put them out for distribution.
But
so.
isn't it great that you can put it on tap, get your feedback instantaneously,
it's brilliant.
Practically?
It's brilliant. There's two ways of looking at the feedback, though. I don't know if you find... There are some people who will say really nice things to you because you're standing right there.
Right.
And they don't want to be like, it's a swing and a miss. And there are other people who, it's like, they don't realise you have feelings and they'll be painfully honest, you know? So I find it swings one way or the other. I don't know, what do you think?
Yeah, like, basically, this is even like, when you're in the bar, lots of new beers, and because like, Athlone is like there's brewery here, you know, you get the beers, but before you couldn't really find in pubs. And then they come in and like, you know, you ask them what they like, you give them a bit of this, and then you see the reaction. You know, the way you were saying, like, they're straight to the point, they'll tell you what they think, or they'll be like, oh, yeah, you know, it's grand, you know.
Yeah.
But...
the worst ones I find are, oh, that is lovely,
yeah.
That's really nice. No, but I won't have it. You know what I mean? That's just say it's not for you. Like, taste is subjective.
Right.
It's not going to suit everybody. But most people are really good for, oh, no, I wouldn't try that. Oh, okay, oh, actually, yeah, no, that's great, actually. I'll take a point of that,
yeah.
You know, I think people are... Look, it's still a relatively small town.
Yep.
Wouldn't exactly be a metropolis. But people are far more willing to experiment here than I was expecting them to be, which is great. And as I've said before, and I know it sounds like somebody on LinkedIn throwing out a lot of rubbish, but like I always say, we don't have customers, we have a community. Like the people that come here once, twice a week, every week, are just staunch supporters of what we do, which is brilliant. And hopefully it'll keep kind of snowballing.
Yeah, it's a kind of a difference, you know, here than like in any other pub, because like you can talk about the beer, you can explain about the beer, when it was made, that it was made literally like where we are sitting now, like you just point down like here it was made there, and they love that. So like even if like new customers are coming in, you know, you talk to them about the beers, you know, you tell them this, and they love it, and it's kind of like then they're coming again, and you know, they have the beers again, and then they'll just become like regulars, you know, they start loving, then they follow us, you know, they see the beers what we are making, they are actually excited what's coming next, then, you know, and I actually love to see that.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, absolutely. Even in like six, I know it was on when I was here before, you've got the Hansel and Pretzel Nitro Pretzel Stout, like that's a weird one, but it works, right? Like,
yeah,
you know,
it's,
you just...
and that was a result of last year's Oktoberfest.
Oh, yes.
Where... right at the last minute they said, oh look, you can now only have, I can't remember what the actual rule was it social distancing was in the game, was it a limit on the number of people?
There was a limit on the number of people,
maybe that was it.
I think as well you couldn't do bar service, it was only table
service.
Table service
again, Yeah, that's whatever the combination of rules that they brought out were, meant we weren't going to be able to have 250 people in here
right.
drinking pints outlandishly. So, and rather than say, okay, well, we're going to refund half the people, you're like, that's totally unfair.
Right.
Like how you
so,
pick.
Yeah.
I know other people will go, well, it's still bloody unfair to say you're all getting a refund, but we just refunded everybody and said, look, when we can do it properly, we'll do it. But that left us with 250 pretzels.
So what you do with it?
We put them in a beer.
Yeah.
So it came out really good, actually. This one is back up. We've done three batches now. Three batches, I think. After year one, after year two, and for this one.
Yeah.
And it's been a bit of a yo-yo of a beer because it started off as a 6.5% nitro stout.
Okay.
The next time we brewed it, the efficiency was just way off, and there was far more. After the first year, we used the leftover pretzels.
Right.
In the second year, we used all the pretzels, and
okay.
the fermentability was a bit lower, so it was only a 4.5% stout.
Mm.
But we dialed it in this year and said, look, we need it to be up there, because when it's a full 6.5%, there's chocolate in there from Quebec and handmade chocolates. It's a lactose as well, so it's a little bit sweeter, a little bit thicker. And then really the pretzels don't, I think a lot of people go, well, it doesn't really taste like pretzels. And you go, yeah, but the pretzels just fermented out,
right.
you know, so it's not really, it doesn't really impact. There's a slight touch of salt, but it's just because we did try and scrape the salt off as best we could, but you leave some and then you get some salt in the finished product, but it's not a salty beer, it's not
right.
a gozer or anything.
No, it's like a little hint of it, but then, because I remember trying it first time, like I love stouts as well,
yeah.
so I was like, here, I'll have this.
Yeah.
And then I was like, it was just very little bit, so it's basically like, okay, this is the pretzel, you know,
yeah.
so that gives you that a hint, so.
But also, Roger, this year, so we used, to get the chocolate in, we use cacao nibs, so the nibs from the chocolate making process, because Michael in Kilbegan handmade chocolate does it bean to bar, so he has the cocoa nibs. So we basically dry hop the beer on the nibs and then pull them when we think it's done. But Roger tasted it and said, I think it needs more time. And when he tasted it again, he was like, it's gone too far. But it totally hasn't. Like that beer,
yeah.
I don't think it's ever tasted better. I keep using the word, and I know it's getting old, but the beer is decadent this year. It's so chocolatey. I think it's brilliant, yeah. And that's what I'm saying. Roger comes up with these ideas.
Yeah.
For, well, why don't we try this? And like a chocolate pretzel, nitro milk stout.
Yeah.
I just I wouldn't have had the balls to make that beer. But it's great. It's really good, yeah.
yeah. And do you think some of the sort of, you know, experimental stuff that you can put on tap here may, if it's a success, find its way into some of the canned
yeah,
stuff?
Definitely.
Or, yeah,
definitely. The I'd love to do the Radler commercially.
That'll be a gorgeous summer
yeah,
beer.
I think
yeah.
I'd love to do it commercially. It's fine for, we literally kegged this yesterday evening. Roger was here until about 6 or 6:30
mm-hmm.
and he kegged it just before he left, so it'll pour today. But you see, technically there you're introducing lemonade, which
right.
is a lot of sugar, into something that potentially still has yeast. So keg, grand when it's being tapped the next day, and could be drunk
sure.
likely in a day. You don't have to worry about re-fermentation, but in cans I would definitely worry about re-fermentation.
Yeah.
So I can look at contract pasteurization, but I'd almost want to do some and taste it and make sure, because
yeah.
at the minute I don't want to change the profile. It tastes, as I said, it's like drinking lemonade. You would have no idea.
It tastes
yeah.
divine.
Yeah,
all
really,
our,
really.
Nearly
good.
All our glasses are empty because
yeah.
of it.
Well, she's on the job, so.
I have to be here in the evening, so
yeah.
I kind of
yeah.
clear
yeah.
head. But
a glass of 2.2% Radler.
It is delicious.
It's so good, and I'd love to do it. But again, you just have to be careful. You could pitch in something like potassium sorbate. Potassium sorbate's a yeast inhibitor. It won't stop re-fermentation, but it'll definitely slow it down. But I don't really want to put potassium sorbate
yeah.
on my ingredients list. You know, it's nasty. So I would actually lean more into pasteurization if it doesn't affect the flavor of what we're doing.
Right.
If it does,
yeah. So potentially something to look forward to. But yeah, like you
yeah.
said, you'd have to experiment and see.
Yeah.
How it
oh, and definitely. I think the sour. I'd really like to get the sour into cans. Our black IPA started on the pilot kit. We're going to rebrew that again this winter.
Oh, I'm excited about that.
Yeah, stealth mode. And then, yeah, what else have we got coming up? Chamats we brewed this time every year.
Yeah,
so
that's the amber.
Just,
yeah,
that's just
gosh.
Becoming a, and people are starting to shout for it now already. So,
I'm so excited.
I know,
like,
yeah. Shimmy Shammy.
Shimmy Shammy, yeah.
It's affectionately known as, and we come up with some cool nicknames for beers here.
Yeah.
So that's coming up. There's a lot. We have Turquoise Waters in tank, which was a tropical IPA we did last year, and we have Boswell's in tank, which is just our standard dry Irish stout on nitro. We're just going to make that constantly. It's an easy drinking stout, works well.
And behind us in the tap room, I've been looking at your list up there, and I'm looking at the Dunkelbock.
Yeah. Steady as the Stars was Steady as the Stars, interestingly enough, was a name that when I was doing some freelance work for another brewery before I started Dead Center, and they asked me to do some artwork for them, some graphics. I do all the graphics for the beers, and I put together something, and just as a placeholder I took a lyric from a song. It was a black beer as well, so I said, we'll call it Steady as the Stars for now. And they were like, oh, it's such an awful name. And I was like, oh, I actually really like the name. But it is only placeholder, so there's no offence taken.
Right.
And then I added it to my, if I open my phone, I have a great big list of
potential beer names.
Yeah, some of them are just, there's all my beer names for upcoming beers. Well, I'm not going to say them in case somebody else thinks.
Yeah, you don't want people to steal them.
It's done there.
It's just, got some good. I like a punny beer name now.
I don't do many puns.
Oh.
So what we do generally is, if the beer is going on draft here, that's fine. Like Hansel and Pretzel, like Eat, Drink and Be Cherry.
Mm-hmm.
But outside of that, I tend to... all I do is I hear a series of two or three word phrases and I go, oh, I like that. And it goes down in the notes. Yeah, that's where it comes from.
People love the names. Like, every time we have people coming to the bar, they're just looking at names like, who came up with these? You know, like, this, it's just.
But it's
gold,
mad.
Like.
Some of them are like that, where I just hear something in passing and I scribble it down, and other things have names for, like, Marooned. Maroon and White are our county colours in Westmeath, so I thought that was perfect. Teeny Tiny. Anything that's below average size in here, we call it Teeny Tiny. And when we were doing the coffee training, We learned how to make I'm not a barista. So I learned how to make a cappuccino. And then they were trying to teach me how to make a flat white and a latte. And I was like, listen, if you ask for a cappuccino, I'll make you a cappuccino. If you ask me here for a latte, you're getting a cappuccino in a latte glass. And if you ask me for a flat white, you're getting a teeny tiny cappuccino. Teeny tiny just stuck then. It was like, anything that was below average was teeny tiny.
And teeny tiny is such a delicious IPA for the ABV.
Teeny tiny
is
an odd one. It doesn't sell the way it should.
Really?
And
oh,
it's for me, it's the star of the core range. Like,
it's 3.3, but like if you have it, and like there's no way like you could tell, like you would think it's like 5 or something.
You could drink 10 of them.
Yeah.
You shouldn't. Sorry, just responsible.
I like the challenge.
But,
you know?
but you could. Whereas for us here, Dead Pixels is the best selling beer that we have here on tap. It's a Pilsner lager. In the off trade, so in cans, it's the worst selling beer that we have.
Oh,
so it swings around a bit. We have to brew it more than any other beer, but a majority of the volume goes into keg. Then Seeking Sunshine would be our best-selling can and our second best-selling tapped beer. Then Marooned is third across the board, and Teeny Tiny would push up the bottom on draft sales, I think. Anyway, I'd have to look at the numbers. I haven't broken them down, but
it is popular. Like, once people have it, they will have more.
But
it's just because I think they get put off because of the lower ABV.
Yeah.
But then, because they might thinking that, oh, it's not going to be like a beer, you know. But then you have it, and it's just like, oh my god, this is actually delicious.
Yeah.
I love Teeny Tiny. Yeah. Like, especially for, let's just say, you're drinking on a Monday night and you've worked the next day.
Yeah.
It's the perfect thing. You don't want something that's going to, you know, wreck you.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Exactly. And even we tend to, it's not that we focus on low ABV, but we tend to try and keep most things sessionable. For something like, you know, a special beer, 100%.
Sure.
You know, we'll always do something big for Christmas. As I said, like the Hansen and Pretzel at 6.5 for a stout, the new Cherry Stout 7.3. You know, they're bigger beers, they're fuller beers. But like, when you think of our core range, the highest ABV we have is 5.5.
Mm-hmm.
Everything in there is sessionable. You know, and Seeking Sunshine at 5 is just right for, it's a great kind of a gateway beer for people. It's not overly hoppy. There's a lovely hop character, but it's subtle, you know. So people tend to buy into that. But yeah, I think you're right. I think a lot of people see 3.3 on Teeny Tiny and go, ah, I don't know. What's the point?
I don't know. I think there is a bit of a movement because Rascals have brought out there.
Yeah, there had absolutely.
Low ABV beer
as
well.
It was strange. We've seen so many swings. Blacks of Kinsale made a triple IPA called 2020 Vision in 2020. And we got it at the bar. We put cans at the bar.
Yeah, I had a can of it.
So when people were limited to an hour 45,
oh,
they were out, they were like, I have an hour and 45, yeah, what have you got?
Yeah.
And they were drinking triple IPAs, and they were drinking Belgian quads, and Le Chouf, we had Le Chouf on tap for a stretch there, and 8% pale ale, no problem,
yeah,
all day long. But I think it'll come back around. Now there's no time limit. I think people are going to start to die, because Low and No had been flying up. Like,
yeah,
there was a huge growth in the No and Low sector. So I think it'll come back around, hopefully, anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, if you go into the wilds of beer Reddit, which, you know, is a thing.
Yeah,
you know,
sometimes,
a like,
sometimes you can regret,
yeah,
it too.
It's all like, you know, if it's under 8%, why do I want it? And you're like,
Yeah.
Maybe you don't really like beer.
But there is even in craft, there is still a cohort of, well, drink,
oh, yeah,
to get drunk. You know, if I didn't want to feel it, why would I consume alcohol?
Yeah.
You're like, I understand the foundation of your logic, but I think somewhere in there's a flaw. Like, I couldn't tell you the last time I was drunk. Pretty probably can. No. Anyway.
So he's always pushing the boat up, but you don't have to be doing that all the time.
Yeah, I'm rarely myself. Actually, I think the last time myself and Liam Hanlon from St. Mel's a few months ago at this stage went for a couple of drinks one night, and that didn't end well.
That wasn't here, no.
We came here at the end,
oh, okay, yeah, yeah,
and I lost my phone. And, yeah, but I generally, I will have a can almost every day, but that'll be it. I'll have one can while, and it's always with my dinner, or after my, you know, that kind of in the evening, one can, and that's it. And, you know, I'm drinking for the flavor of the beer, the quality of the beer. Whereas there are definitely some people that are still. That's why we never have security here, never. We do tonight,
right?
Because you know,
you never know exactly.
Yeah,
and
well, it's a lot of people as well.
And
you
know, your crowd control,
absolutely. Yeah, well, the crowd control is sponsored by Weinstefan, literally to the point where, like, should we have loads of it? Keep going. Yeah.
Oh, very good. We should probably start wrapping up because you guys have more setting up to do, and we don't want to like take you away from all that. It looks amazing, but before we do, any things to look out for, events coming up, or again, beers that maybe people can get that are scattered far and wide.
Yeah, no, there's not too much, to be honest. We've started to do a couple of music gigs here before lockdown, so our first one is back at the end of this month, but it's sold out. Paddy Casey is here on the 28th.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we have a comedy gig next week where there are still tickets for that, so I don't know, this will probably be, don't know if this will air in time for people to to grab them or not, but that's next week. And then beer wise as I said, we have quite a few new beers coming, but I think the one I'm looking forward to is last year we made a beer called Here Right Now, and we called it a hyper local imperial stout. So it was, we brewed the beer, we had Quebecan organic oats, Bell Lane coffee in Mullingar, Quebecan handmade chocolate, and then we put the beer into Lochree distillery barrels, so the whitish barrels. And then they took the barrels back after we took the beer out, and they did a whiskey finished in the stout casks. So we have that behind the bar as well. And then because they put whiskey into it, they've re-sterilized it. So we took the cask back, and we're going to do another Here Right Now this year. Slight remix. We're going to drop the coffee and replace it with cherries. So it'll be, or not cherries. I keep saying cherries then. It's that bloody stout with chilies. So it'll be a chocolate chili imperial stout.
Chili,
yeah. Yeah. So look, it's something different again. We've never done it. The oats that are going in are from Kilvegan Organic. The barrels are from Lanesborough, which is the far end of the lake. And then Roger, the head brewer here, grows his own chilies. So literally it's pretty
local.
I mean,
you need to speak to him about that, then.
Yeah, he's a keen gardener. I don't know where he finds the time to absolutely anything. It's insane.
Yeah, he's a busy man. Like.
Very busy man. It's crazy. Yeah. And then I always try out this information. But Roger has once every 2 years, he has a birthday party at his house. And the last time that we went out to his house for this birthday party, he had 27 taps of homebrew pump.
Wow.
27 taps. We only have 11 taps of craft here.
Yeah.
Like, crazy.
So along his day job is brewing here.
No, no.
No?
Roger's day job, Roger's full-time job, is a lead aeronautical engineer with Ryanair. Roger fixes planes for a living.
Okay, wasn't expecting that.
Yeah, so Roger works 4 days on, 4 days off at Ryanair.
Yeah.
So he works 2 of every 7 days here. Because, as I said, when the tanks are full, the tanks are full, and it's a tiny brewery. So Roger's here 2 days a week, in Ryanair 4 days a week and grows chilies, home brews, makes cheese, smokes meat. It's I don't understand.
And
throws the best parties. Has three kids, one of whom is in Australia, so he's two kids to look after. A wife, a house to maintain. He's a superman.
I am heading to Rogers when the zombie apocalypse hits.
Oh, I'm telling you.
We'll be sorted.
Yeah. Lots of beer.
Yeah.
Also, zombie apocalypse is a good name for a beer. I'm sure it's been had before.
Oh, there must be. I'm sure if you're going
on tap.
Oh, that's what on tap. Yeah. That's why we had a double IPA last year, or the year before last even, called Ultraviolet Tilt. And the only reason it was called Ultraviolet Tilt was there was already a beer called Ultraviolet. Just stick a word in the end of it. Tilt.
Yeah.
So I tend to do that quite a bit. How can we change this to make it unique?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Fantastic. Oh, well, we'll like I said, we'll begin to wrap up, but I will say, for any of you who are like, but you haven't talked about the history, what about, where Oktoberfest comes from? We did that already. That was in, season one. So go back. It's in our archives. You will find it. We do talk beer history on that one, but we've done some history ones lately, so they're in there. They're in there. We're not letting you down on that side. But again, thank you for liking, subscribing, sharing. At Beer Ladies Pod on most of the things. At Beer Ladies Podcast on some of the other things. Find our link tree. Buy some merch. But by the time this comes out, you'll have seen us posting on our socials how much fun this Oktoberfest is going to be. So we are really, really excited about that. But with that said, we just have to thank Liam and thank Patrick, because you guys have been amazing. Thank you for taking time out on such a busy day.
No worries. I'm happy to take the time out.
And with that said, Katie and I are going to go start getting dolled up so we can be ready for the Oktoberfest in just a little while.
We'll have to be top of the queue.
Yes.
Yeah, so you're nice and early, so you'll get early, all the beers.
Well, I have to go back and put on my dirt.
It's going to happen. It's going to happen. So with that said, we'll sign off and we'll see you all next week. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
4 That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at hellofresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.